Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Hey everyone, welcome to WSCIRO, C Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston on Blog Talk Radio. And I just want to say hi. I'm Dr. Shirley Kinnett, your general manager, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Kinnett, the other general manager. Do you want to say hi to the listening audience, Jeff?
Hello, listener.
Yes, so today is Sunday. The church this is official feast day, 9 days after the after Good Friday. We have the Divine Mercy, and my husband will be talking more about the saint of the church that was canonized that responded to a vision / revelation on what the Lord wanted her to communicate to the body of Christ regarding his divine mercy. And the church has her as the patron saint of Poland, and we just want to lift up Poland today and ask the Lord to touch that nation. They had a setback for those of you who were not following the news yesterday. The military regime and the president of Poland were flying in a plane, and it crashed, and every single one of them perished in the crash. So, you know, we want to ask the Lord to just bless this, country and all the people of Poland with his peace and consolation and comfort through the person of the Holy Spirit today. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. Well, I just want to say hi to all of my Facebook friends, especially one specific Facebook friend who I found out early this morning, actually, when I was just up and looking to see who was on Facebook at 3 in the morning. I noticed everybody was saying happy birthday to Doug Wallace, okay? And Doug has been a friend of ours on Facebook probably for, since we've been on Facebook, which was about a year and a half ago, and his birthday is today. So we want to say happy birthday to Doug Wallace and blessings upon his ministry, and hopefully he'll get this. We'll try to do this every once in a while whenever we know somebody that's really, impacted our ministry and has reciprocated in some way. We always like to acknowledge their birthday. Birthday is a special time of a person's existence, to let them know that God has chosen them and loves them. And that's why he called them into birthday existence, because he had a plan and purpose for their life, and they're carrying that out. And one of the things that Doug is very instrumental in doing, one of his gifts, is to take secular songs that we know and love, and somehow the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is able to show him the message behind that, the secular song, through the lyrics, and what it was supposed to be. And that we're going to go into that a little bit as this show progresses. Okay, and we're going to be doing this for about 15 minutes. I think that would be sufficient. I always allow enough time, in case we start a little later than usual. So, today we're going to talk about, especially because it's a Divine Mercy Sunday, we're going to talk about transformation, okay? And we're going to mix it up a little bit, and we're talk about transformation and the cry of every follower of Jesus and what it should be, all right? And the posture, the position that we should take in this, And then we're going to, you know, connect that to how people can get distracted. And I think that's a reason for Jesus' divine mercy, because when we get distracted, you know, and we realize after the Lord's opened up our eyes and heart that we've kind of strayed from, from where we were going, you know, because of maybe distractions coming from our loved ones that may not be walking as close as we are in the Lord, or may not be walking in the Lord at all, from secular media, from the music that every once in a while we enjoy, you know, we should be enjoying worship music all the time. But, you know, all music comes from the Lord. But my husband and I were having this conversation about why have there been so many different strains of music throughout all the generations, and, you know, what is this music saying, you know, and where is it landing in our heart, body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion as human beings, okay? Where is the influence of how do we receive it in our receivers? And, you know, we come to the conclusion that, you know, when Lucifer was in heaven, as one of the, you know, as a guardian of the throne of God, he was actually put in charge of the music, and he was an angel of light before he rebelled and took one third of the angels with him. They became demons. They became Satan because their nature and character changed. It decayed in the fall, and so there was a big cataclysmic event on the earth when they were hurled down to the earth by Michael, the archangel. But the thing being is that he took, you know, his whole beauty, his whole countenance transformed, and he also took the music with him that he, you know, was responsible for in heaven. And so there's always that element of music distortion that, you know, the lyrics that were meant to build up a person's spirit, build, you know, and encourage them and assist them in their walk with the Lord. It was foolish for their soul and spirit. It became corrupt because of the one who rebelled. And so, you know, we have always this battle of, that's why they have a thing called the Battle of the Bands. I really believe that's a spiritual thing. But, you know, Battle of the Bands, Battle of the different genres of music and different things like that. And it was so cool because this week, after Resurrection Sunday last week, after Easter, I was just driving my bus, minding my own business, right? And going back and forth from one music station to the other and from my iPod too. I thought, well, let me just see what the oldies is playing, because they sometimes play things that I like, you know. And it reminds me of the era in which I grew up in. So I turned it on, and I'm hearing this song by Thelma Houston, Please Don't Leave Me This Way, okay? And we will talk more about that, okay? And what it really meant, that song is actually a deliverance song. It was really meant to be a deliverance song. I don't know the specifics about Thelma Houston's personal walk with the Lord or her personal life, but when I just substituted one word, baby, for Jesus, it just sounded so much like the lost songs of Jesus Christ, you know, and one of the lost songs. And I think there was a stretch of song specifically between the 60s and 70s, and maybe a little bit from the end of the 50s, 60s and 70s specifically, that was geared towards the fire of the Lord coming to the earth. You know, there was supposed to be revival songs, but what happened was because the enemy introduced drugs into the youth of that day and age, you know, what tried to come into through the spirit realm, through the Holy Spirit, was getting distorted and coming through the soulish realm. It was being received in the soulish realm, and it stayed there as well. I think as we uncover these songs, we are going to find a whole wealth of messages that were, you know, and love songs that were original, that were meant, you know, for the average believer to connect to the Lord. And also, the other way around, too. Songs coming from the throne. And it's just awesome that God broke into time, and we didn't recognize that visitation, but he's making it for a long time, and we're back to that place again. So, you know, we will be examining in greater detail the lost songs of the kingdom, and that's that. And so, before we go on any further, I'm going to give the mic to my husband, Jeffrey. He's going to pray, and then he's going to tell you, you know, a little bit about, you know, the patron saint, Sister Faustina, and what happened in her encounter with the Lord. And then I have a dream, too, that the Lord had actually given to me yesterday about the state of the body of Christ and, you know, what he's calling us to recognize as we become more transformed, more like him in spirit and truth. Okay, I'm going to give the mic to my husband right now. Here is Dr. Jeff.
Thank you, Father. Glory to you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your example of mercy in Faustina and her journey towards you. Thank you for the time when she was resisting you in her life when she was in her 20s, and then you just personally confronted her and said, "Why are you making me wait?" And with that she started pursuing her religious life vocation, and then it was shortly thereafter that, I don't know how many years, but the process of her entire life was a revelation of the divine mercy. And in the religious community she belonged to, it was a tradition that all the nuns had to journalize their spiritual experiences. So the Lord knew that and started speaking basically what non-Catholics would call prophecy, Jesus speaking to his people through a servant. And because of that commandment from the nuns, there's a diary that demonstrates God's mercy as he manifested it to her. And she had this experience of declaring, when she was learning the prayer, the Lord gave her a vision of Poland being caught up in this war with the war, and it was facing annihilation. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit took hold of Faustina in this vision, and she started praying what is now known as the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And as she prayed it, the angel of judgment couldn't bring forth the judgment. The judgment didn't fall in Poland. And that came to be about 2 years later when the Russians and the Germans were in Poland. They had taken the territory for the Nazi regime, and then the Russians wanted it for their regime, but the nation almost came to the brink of annihilation, but God's mercy spared Poland from that disaster because there was an active, believing saint and many saints of her community praying for that not to happen. And, you know, and her congregation's name is Sisters of Divine Mercy. Sisters of Mercy. And it was just like, hold on. It's ready or available. All you have to do is ask the Lord to teach you about it. He will teach you. He will show you. He will reveal to you how great is his mercy and how deep and how wide and how beautiful and how glorious it is. And here's Shirley again.
Well, Jeff, I wanted you to talk more about what's going on in the church today, and how does the church celebrate Divine Mercy, and when was it instituted, when Pope John Paul II was here?
Jesus had asked Faustina to ask the church to set aside the first Sunday after Easter as the day of Feast of Divine Mercy. Now, you got to remember, Faustina lived right before Hitler rose to power in Germany, so she was in Poland, in 1930s, I think it was 32 to 38 was her vocational life or something like that. But she was very young, and what happened is that she the Lord became very interested in displaying his mercy through her and through an intimate, knowing relationship. And what happened is that eventually the church considered her level of sanctity and had a process they call canonization. And upon her canonization was the church's acceptance of the Lord's request for the Feast of Mercy. And so I don't remember what year that was when she was declared a saint. And this happened in the 80s, and now every year the church celebrates with a novena from Good Friday to the following Sunday, which is considered the Feast of Mercy, Divine Mercy Sunday, and imploring the mercy of Jesus for the world and for the church and for all people. And
what do they do today? What's important that we as Christians, as believers, because everybody can actually participate in this. They don't necessarily have to be Catholic. What is the primary focus today, Jeff? Like what, you know, when we were coming into, because we live right on church ground, and I asked one of the parishioners, you know, why did they cancel one of the services, and what was it for? Hold on.
Here we go.
Cancellation. Yeah, perfect. They were having confessions for part of the celebration of the Divine Mercy Sunday, and there was some conditions put on it by Jesus. I can't remember all the details, but it's like Jesus loves when his people repent. Confess their sins to him, and the glory of God is even greater. And that's what the mercy of God on this day is like. In Massachusetts, it's a place of pilgrimage. Out in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, Divine Mercy National Shrine of the Divine Mercy of Jesus, and this community has been in existence for a very long time, not just the community here in Massachusetts, but the community of Sister Faustina has been pursuing and praying to all the different communities, have been praying and be established to honor the Divine Mercy. And when she was declared a saint in the Catholic Church, all these communities experienced the validation because they all were responding to what Jesus had asked St. Faustina to do. And her congregation did it, and there were many other smaller groups of people who started different communities of faith, religious communities of faith, based on the teachings of Jesus given to St. Faustina. And today, it's the culmination, on the Feast of Mercy, it's the culmination of a life lived for God, and now the church can declare the mercy of God. And I really believe in that when the entire Church of Jesus declares this mercy, and the healing will happen to the church, and the church will see oneness come back to itself. And Jesus gave her a particular manifestation of a vision of him, and then later on Jesus told her to have someone paint it. And first of all, because she had a vision, the description of visions highly translates into language because it's beyond language, it's beyond sight, beyond senses, and she saw this, and as she was painting it, she took it to the Lord, and she and she cried because she was saying to the Lord, Lord, it's not what I'm doing isn't representing it as I saw it. And she was just crying because it was the glory and mercy was so much greater than what she could express with pigment and brush. And but it was all, you know, but she, but the Lord said to her, it's not in the, not in the natural beauty of the image that the mercy lies. It's in the fact that it's a picture of Jesus, and he's shining the blood in the water from his heart. His pierced heart on Calvary shed forth blood and water, grace and mercy. We have to take both. Grace and mercy are not against each other, but they work together. And the prayers that Jesus had inspired Faustina with were really simple. And it was asking the Father, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And then there was some prayers. Then there was another prayer that's a part of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. O blood and water which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. And it's all about the blood of Jesus and the grace and mercy of Jesus. And it was, you know, on the cross and trusting in it. And he even told her that even the most hardened sinner, if he were to devoutly say the chapel even once, would receive an outpouring of grace and mercy, that they would be receive the forgiveness of their sins, that and he said, the ones who are in great need of my mercy have an absolute right to my mercy. It's like those who want to turn to God and call on his mercy will receive the power, will receive the guidance, will receive the healing, will receive the deliverance. Even one time Faustina was in a vision state where she was called to the bedside of a person who was dying, and she started saying the chaplet, and all these evil spirits were floating around this person, and as she said it, they tried to rebuke her, and the more she said it, the more they got rebuked, and these deliverance happened for this person, and this person was experiencing the terror of dying because the spiritual world was opening to his soul, and he wasn't prepared for it. But by the intercession of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, he became ready for. He received the mercy. He became peaceful. His death was a peaceful death, not a heinous one, because of not being ready and prepared by grace and mercy. But God, it just showed the extent of God's love, God's peace, and how much willingness there is for a simple action of faith and prayer for the dying to bring the dying closer to God in their last minutes, hours, days, whatever. And Jesus is glorified because he's glorified in every Christian because every Christian has realized the grace and mercy. And now we have a greater responsibility to call down that greater mercy, to call down that greater grace, to call down that greater love that the Father has been willing to show us. And there's other communities who have similar devotion. And you know what? I really have come to believe that if we apply the devotion of mercy to all, to the three different sections of the one church of Jesus Christ, that these three segments would come together and healing and deliverance and oneness would be restored. And this is what Jesus wanted for the whole church, because in John 17, I believe Jesus was experiencing being God. He was experiencing the future. He was able to see down in his divine nature. He was able to see down into the future to our day. This is while he was still here, physically present on the earth. And then he prayed that entire chapter for the sake of the church, not just the Catholics, not just the Orthodox, but the entire Church of Jesus. He, you know, wants oneness. He demands oneness. And through other people, he indicates that he is very grief-stricken over the division and the resulting ineffectiveness of his body. But he will have mercy on those who claim his mercy, and he will start again for those who want to start again, ministering mercy. Bottom line is, what do you choose to do? What do you choose to do with it? Yeah, there's a choice. Heaven's a choice, hell's a choice, staying falsely neutral is a choice, but it has consequences. Turn to his mercy. Be saved, be sanctified, be delivered from bondage over and over again. Return to his mercy. Return to his mercy.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Wow. See, you probably didn't think you had much for it to say, but when you employed the intercession of the Holy Spirit, he just pours himself upon you. And it's just wonderful to hear and see the work in progress, hear what the Lord's doing and see it in progress. And progress and process as the Holy Spirit moves upon an individual, especially a loved one. It's wonderful. You know, one of the first encounters with the Divine Mercy was before Sister Faustina actually, was canonized by I want to say Saint John Paul II, but he's in the process, John Paul II, and. What happened was I was in my mid-20s, when I started encountering the Lord. And it was such a growing desire in me, because I knew I needed change, and I thought, Lord, please don't leave me this way. We'll talk more about that prayer and the impact it had on me then, and, you know, in the Spirit, and you know, the Lord, you know, brought it back to me again for now. But it had a lot to do with the divine working of the Holy Spirit in the area of transformation as it pertains to mercy. And the recall, as I'm experiencing it right now, I was on the park bench. I was on a break. I was working at the Veterans Administration Hospital in West Roxbury as a certified nurse working with paralyzed vets. And I was on a break. And the Lord just showed me my life, and I'm like, Lord, I just want to change. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be, you know, the person you've called me to be. I don't want to, you know, live carelessly. I don't want to be living a life of sin. I really need to get right with you. And next thing you knew, like in one of the documentaries of Sister Faustina's life, and I hadn't even seen that at the time, all of a sudden the wind blew me a Divine Mercy chaplet brochure. And I'm reading the prayer, and I knew that after I read that prayer that my life was going to just totally be, you know, I was going to be given a clean slate from the Lord, and it was all going to be going towards his goodness. You know, I just felt that, I just had that sense. That's how much trust, because it's all about trust. That's why many people don't follow the Lord. They don't follow the Lord because, first of all, they haven't had good examples around them so they can make that choice. Second of all, they have an issue with trust. And so, you know, if you employ the Divine Mercy, Jesus through the Divine Mercy, you know, just calling upon his mercy, the trust will come, you know, but you have to surrender and submit and trust everything that you are and hope to be, especially your destiny, to the Lord. And that's what I did. And to this day, you know, we're still, you know, both Jeff and myself, we're appointed upon his mercy in every aspect of our life. It just doesn't stop. You plead mercy on behalf of others as well. You just, and for the vehicle of mercy brings you to the glory. people don't realize that the vehicle of mercy propels you. It brings you to the glory. And so I just can't say enough about the mercy of God. But the other confirmation, because I knew that the Lord had somebody for me, and I knew it was at that time in my 20s that it was for later, my second half of my life, which I'm in right now, from 40 on. And the night before my wedding, I'm praying, and I fell asleep. I started having an increased capacity for visions because I was worshiping the Lord more, and God just came on in there with the greater visions and great clarity. And so I had the divine mercy picture that Jeff had described earlier on my kneeler. I had a kneeler in my room, and my prayer kneeler. And I'm looking, I fell asleep, so I thought, and as I was waking up, it was just a short nap, and as I was coming to, I was in between sleep and awake, and next thing you know, I see the Divine Mercy picture was like coming alive, and then I saw me walking down the aisle, and then I turned into Jesus, and then Jesus turned back into me, and I turned into Jesus, and Jesus turned back into me because I really wanted to be in God's will. I had not made the best choices in the past, and I just wanted to make sure, that I was hearing from the Lord about, being married to Jeff, and that everything was going to be all right, and that we were going to get blessed and receive our blessing. And everything, and that was very important to me. I never asked for that before, and it was a disaster. So the Lord wanted to show me. He gave me a clean slate. He gave me that vision, and this was His mercy because I had asked the Lord to have His divine mercy, choose, the right mate for me, and it was just all because I put my complete trust in every aspect of my life that I, because of my own choices, had allowed the enemy to ruin it, At that time, it was temporary. It was temporary ruin. But the Lord is all in the business of restoring the ruins, okay, if we just cry out. And this brings me to the Donna Houston song, okay? We have a couple minutes left. But I was listening to Donna Houston the other day, and my immediate thing was, oh, I heard the song like 5,000 times, I'm just going to just change this song. I'm going to go back to the other station that I was back to my iPod. I was actually listening to worship on the iPod. So I was doing that, and then all of a sudden the Lord said, no, I want you to hear the words in this song. So I went back to the song. All right, okay, Lord, I guess this is from you. And the Lord was definitely laughing on His throne on that one, because that's how it is sometimes when I'm just not getting it. And then He called me back to whatever He's called me to, and all of a sudden, as I'm listening to this, I'm like, this is a prayer. I cannot believe how the enemy stole this song, and it should have been given to people who were sold out believers, and they were able, to lead people and sing the song. So I'm not going to sing it, all right? I'm not Thelma, and I don't have the music around me. But what I will do is I'm going to give you the what it should have been meant for. And, for those of you who tuned into me earlier, and during the introduction, I should say, I was saying how, there are songs that the Lord has ordained for certain time periods and for the body of Christ to inherit, because songs, worship songs, the Lord brings spiritual foods to worship. He nourishes His people through worship. It's just, he nourishes us with love and peace, but with other things that we would need, even with healing on many levels, okay? That's why communion is so much more, so important, because we receive Jesus, and he's the healer of our soul through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we, when we receive him, we receive healing at every level. Always anticipate healing on every level. Someone needed to hear that. Healing on every level. It's body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion. He'll heal you in your past, from past wounds, to bring you up, you know, to update you, okay, to the present. Okay, so you can have a, you can inherit and live a glorious future. So, you know, the Lord, the whole point of Faith Outside Prayer for today, Divine Mercy Sunday, is transformation. But, the, you know, the cry, what is that cry in us? To pay attention to that cry. You know, what is the heart of every person that is in need of a Savior, is in need of the divine mercy of God's love? It's they don't want to be left the way that they are. So this song right here, Please Don't Leave Me This Way, should have been like this, okay? Lord, please don't leave me this way. I can't survive. I can't stay alive without your love. Please don't leave me this way. Oh, Jesus, please don't leave me this way. I can't exist. I will surely miss your tender kiss. Please don't leave me this way. Oh, Jesus, my heart is full of love and desire for you. Now come on down and do what you want to do. You started this fire deep down in my soul. Now can't you see it's burning and it's out of control? Come on and satisfy this need in me, because only your good loving will set me free. Set me free, set me free. Sounds like deliverance to me, huh? Don't leave me this way. I am at your command, oh Jesus. Please don't leave me this way. And so what the enemy had done, you know, has been doing, has been seducing the nations, the world into, is to make it think that other human beings can satisfy that need deep down in someone's soul to be satisfied with mediocre love instead of as the God kind of love, like agape love, the love coming from heaven, the unconditional love. And so when I was reading that, I was like, I felt like whatever hindrances I still had, I was being delivered as I was reading that song. And Jeff, is there anything that the Lord was showing you about that? Okay. Well, if there is, just let me know, okay? All right. And so I just want to just, you know, encourage you all who are listening that, you know, you got these needs to be loved and to be nurtured, but you're eating the food in the wrong season. You're eating other foods. You're thinking other delights can do it for you, and things like that. In a funny thing about it, this is a confirmation of even this, what the Lord was revealing to me in the present moment. A couple of days ago, I had a dream last night, I was, you know, I'm going to be 50 this year, so I'm not sure if I can have any more kids. I believe that production slowed down somewhat, and you know, I've had all the kids that the Lord wants me to have, praise God. And but my husband, he blessed me with a husband that could help me in ministry, you know, to have many spiritual children. So we're looking forward to that, okay? All right. Okay. You know, we're coming down to the end of this show, but I just wanted to share with you this particular dream, you know, because it goes along with, you know, the cry of our soul and spirit, especially it's magnified more in divine mercy than anything else, about how we don't want to be left the way that we are if we want to come close to the Lord, if we want to inherit the kingdom of God. So I had this dream that I was nursing this baby. The baby looked so small. It looked like it was still being developed in the womb. But it knew it needed to eat. And it was, you know, and somehow I, as a mother, knew, all right, even though, you know, it's not as developed as I would like it to be, I need to feed it, I need to nurse it. So I was nursing, and all of a sudden, you know, the milk that was coming out, it was like, you know, the baby was getting frustrated because it wanted the milk that it needed. And then next thing you knew, it was the milk that they needed for that particular time in the development. And the baby was still in utero. Why the Lord did this, but only He knows. And so, it was coming out like curd, you know, like sour milk and everything. And I'm like, that's odd. Breast milk's not supposed to be sour. So then this baby was growing fast, really fast, like faster than fast. And then next thing you know, it was like it was growing teeth, and it needed like to be weaned real fast, or else, you know, if I didn't get that, it was going to die. And then I'm thinking, that's what I'm thinking. And then I'm thinking, when was the last time I fed this baby? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I fed it like 3 days ago. And I said, now it really needs to eat. It's really hungry. And but it didn't die. And I woke up so like feeling like I neglected this baby. And what was it all about? Or maybe I was afraid to neglect this baby. I was aware of the need for the baby to eat. So I was asking the Lord. I was talking to my husband and asking the Lord, too, at the same time. And I'm like, I don't know why I had this dream. Then it came to me. It came to me, you know, that the baby, you know, which represents revival, which represents the body of Christ and the condition of the body of Christ. There's many people in the body of Christ that know that the time right now is to eat, okay? But some babies are still in a malnourished state. The other babies are like, they're like other individuals, other members, other followers of Christ are, you know, eating the food from yesterday that somehow curdled and got corrupted, and they need something more. You know, they need another kind of food for the season that they're in. And the Lord really is saying that you really need to trust Him more, and you really need to ask Him for the season, the right season, the food for the right season. Be attentive to the food of the right season where He's called you to in the ministry field. And don't go by yesterday's food, because that's already spoiled. You know, in the Egyptians, when they were in, not the Egyptians, when the Israelites, when they were in the desert, when they fled Egypt, the Lord sent them quail by night, manna by morning. Yeah, it was only food for one time, and then quail another time. Everything that they kept overnight for themselves spoiled, because it was the time for that food had expired. So the Lord is saying the time for the food from yesterday has already been expired. He has something new. He has something different, and just receive it, and the harvest would be plentiful. You would grow in a greater way. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask that you would give the body of Christ a growth spurt, that the ones that who are stagnant and dependent on yesterday's food would, you know, repent and then begin to ask the Lord, you know, to put them in the right season and bring the food for that season, and that they would be open and attentive, that there would be no distractions distracting them from receiving that food. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for how you just love us with your children, and you have a purpose, a plan, a purpose, and a destiny already for each child of you that calls upon your name. And we, Lord, we just ask right now, Jesus, that you would just love upon your children, and Lord, you would, you know, we implore, you know, on Divine Mercy Sunday, mercy for everyone, you know. And the Lord is saying that, you know, even if you've spoken ill, you know, and He made you aware of it, don't be down on yourself. You know, ask the Lord to transform you, that don't leave you this way. It's important not to be left the way that you once you were, you know, because it's all about growth. It's all about growth. It's all about eating the new food for the new season, and the food of yesterday is gone. We're in a new season. We're in a new season of opportunity. We're in a new season of the new day. We're in the new season of now. We're in the new season of you. So we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for the new season. And we thank you, Lord, that you will not leave us this way. We will not leave your people the way that they have, that we will come into that newness in Jesus' holy name for the new day. Well, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, may he shine his face upon you and bring you to everlasting peace, and go on and enjoy the new day. God bless you. We love you. Bye.